From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome back to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. Yes, back here. Another thrilling edition of Bob After Dark.
Oh, we're back. We're like here. I'm in studio.
You're in, I could touch you.
Yeah, you did. We hugged when I got in. I have not seen you in 3 weeks, which I don't like going that long. Hey, folks, it's nice to see you guys. We took a couple weeks off for surgery, and then the Tuesday before surgery, I got violently ill. So we're here. I am doing the best I can.
Well, we got to ask you. I mean, we got to ask you, how was the surgery?
Surgery went well. Way better this time than I went through with my appendix.
Okay. And this was the gallbladder.
So, you know, I started 2024 with all my organs, and now I'm down two.
Well,
I mean, if I'm going to lose two, though, those are the two organs to lose because they're generally useless.
There's some you need and there's some you don't need. And
right. No, I mean, there's a lot worse things that can happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're
it's just weird to say that I'm missing organs, you know?
That, you know what, but you're not the only one, but the
gallbladder, of course,
the gallbladder surgery was a success, and that was that's a big deal, and you're back here, back in the saddle, as Errol Smith said before, Steven Tyler said you're back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle again. You are simply, you are absolutely correct, Count Panic, and it is just, it's good to be back. I, you know, today I've been sick, just in general. I don't know. I don't think it's a complication with surgery because I've been healing up real nice. But I almost didn't come in tonight, and we almost did like a Zoom episode.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if we had to do it, we would have done it and been okay with it. But we didn't have to do that, so everything kind of worked out to our advantage. Real quick, I am not the breaking news type person on here by any means.
Yeah, breaking news?
Breaking news. Facebook's down.
Is that for you or
ever in general? I just looked it up and it said that people are experiencing difficulties with it.
Let me check this.
So I thought I was going to have to do the show from my phone because how it works is I have all my notes and I send them a messenger when I'm at home and then I bring them in. So it kind of worked out in my favor tonight. This just lucked out.
So Facebook there's a Facebook outage.
It's in and out apparently.
Is Zuckerberg aware of this?
I guess I searched it and people were saying they were having issues. So,
wow.
Whatever. That's not what the show is about. Because Count Panic, what the show is about?
What's it about?
Legends, lore, and the supernatural. Things that go bump in the night. Lights in the sky. Weird cryptid stories. And of course, Count Panic's favorite. Or no, how about this? Count Panic's dream costume as a kid for Halloween, but never got to do.
Wow. See, I knocked a lot of the dream costumes out as a kid because, you know, you tell your parents as a kid, this is what I want to be, and it usually happens. I mean, from Batman to Woody from Toy Story.
That seems like the perfect thing for you to wear now.
I could be Woody from Howdy, Howdy, Howdy.
Howdy, Howdy, Howdy.
But the one costume that I never got a chance to wear growing up as a kid, I never did the traditional... It's so simple. A ghost.
Like
Never did the bed sheet with the holes.
Yeah.
It's an iconic costume, and I never wore it, Bob. I feel like at least 1 year in my life, I'm going to have to put a sheet on my head.
You're going to laugh at
little
me.
Little holes in them.
You're going to laugh at me on my answer.
What's yours?
A Ghostbuster.
As a kid. But now
I had the proton pack, but I never dressed like a Ghostbuster for Halloween. Although I always wanted to, but now I'm in a big kid and I get to be a Ghostbuster all year round.
So if you do it for Halloween, that's kind of like a...
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just...
Yeah, they think they were doing it for Halloween, though, and not actually a Ghostbuster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you get the idea.
Yeah.
So Count Panic, how the show works is we divide the we've divided up into two segments. First segment is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird, the unusual, in breaking headline news. Anything from weird advances that borderline on science fiction or ghosts making it into major media, cryptid sightings, UFOs, the whole bit. You, the fans, send them in to me. You find them, and I give them back. First week back, this show's going to be a little bit condensed because I'm trying to get back into the flow of things.
Back in the high life.
Exactly. So I have two news stories for you guys. One, I actually found today, because I realized I didn't have my news stories, and I found this one, and it's breaking news as of today.
More breaking, besides
it's
Facebook
not breaking,
being
this
down.
Isn't breaking news, okay. But it's brand new article as of today.
All right,
so you know Ring...
The doorbell?
The doorbell, yeah. Yeah. So Ring is offering a $100,000 reward for a video of ghosts or other paranormal activity.
Oh, wow.
They partnered with Finn Wolfhard. You know who that is?
Finn Wolfhard.
He was Stranger Things. He's in the new Ghostbuster movie.
Oh, one of the kids from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's also in It.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I know that.
Okay, yep. So this story comes to us from KVSF12.
Okay.
That is a news station from... Missouri.
Sure.
Okay. I was trying, I'm like, what's MO? That's Missouri, right? This is an article written by Amanda Alvarado. Spooky season is here and Ring is offering $100,000 for videos of ghosts or other evidence of paranormal activity. Home security camera maker Ring wants users to submit their spooky footage, whether it's seriously spectral or subliminally silly footage of family and friends in costume. Judges for Ring's Great Ghost Search include Ghostbusters and Stranger Things star Finn Wolfhard and paranormal investigator Katrina Wieldman or Weidman. Ring is known to catch all kinds of activity, but I know if I saw a ghost on my Ring camera, I'd want to move out as fast as possible, Wolfhard said in a statement. He is fired from being a Ghostbuster.
What's his problem?
This Halloween season, I'm relying on my Ring camera to alert me of any paranormal happening in and around my house, even if it's spooky or paranormal. The judging criteria including visibility, clarity of the ghost, uniqueness of the entry, entertainment value, and engagement, and the winner will receive $100,000.
Wow.
Now, during Halloween, the busiest doorbell season of the year, we're calling upon our customers to keep an eye out for any ghostly activity. If they do capture a ghost on camera, we're going to help them escape their haunted situation. After all, what's Halloween without a few surprises, said Mimi Swain, the chief commercial officer of Ring. Fans can submit their videos to ring.com/ghost search until November 1st or 5,000 entries happen, which I'm going to assume is going to happen by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Whichever comes first. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, you know what? What a great concept. Two, I mean, there's got to be moments out there that are captured on Ring doorbells as far as paranormal activity goes, one would think. And three... Especially during this time of year, you get a lot of people ringing doorbells, but that's beside the point. But the concept alone is pretty cool, Bob. I mean, somebody out there definitely has some paranormal activity on their Ring doorbell. I mean, I would find it hard to believe that somebody out there doesn't have any. But how do you prove it, I guess?
What if somebody's trying to fake? Looking for staged videos, too, because they said silly.
Oh.
So, dude, if I had a Ring...
Well, wait a second. I thought it would be more...
Well, they said serious or silly.
Okay.
Look, man, if I had a Ring camera, I'd be doing this in a heartbeat, but I don't own a Ring camera.
No. This is a great time to get one, I guess.
I'm going to spend all that money to get one. I should have one, but
you should, just in case.
You never know.
Yeah. We do have a call.
Oh, we have a call. Take it live.
We'll take it live? Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hashtag John's Take. Hashtag John's Take.
Hashtag John's Take. What's up, John?
No, come on, Bob. Are you saying... For what is it? $100,000?
$100,000.
Don't you think that there's going to be so many people trying to figure out how to get that $100,000? I mean, how can you not prove, you know, how can maybe you got a Ring doorbell and you say, hey, John, you know, let's rig something up. I mean, really think about it.
I think that's the point.
Ow.
I don't think they're taking the contest seriously because they do say, like, silly specters. So they're obviously expecting, like, somebody to fake something. There is a lot of great filmmakers out there, and they're offering a $100,000 contest prize for me not to have to pay anything for the entry fee. This is every horror filmmaker's, like, fantasy.
Exactly. Now, let's say, for example, something is captured. Who's going to determine? Is it going to be somebody like you, or is it going to be a panel of people?
So they have a panel of judges, and they did say, too, in that article, one's a famous paranormal investigator from TV, and then the other, he's an actor in a lot of things, including Ghostbusters now. So they have a panel of judges. I think they're just looking to be entertained. Like, is this a good video?
Yeah, but they should. If it's a real thing, they should make it that the winner.
That's what I, in my honest opinion, I think that they have the right idea with this approach. But $100,000, that's insane.
So who's coming up with this? Is this the Ring doorbell?
Anybody who owns a Ring doorbell. So I do not own a Ring doorbell because with my luck, I'd enter this thing, I'd win, and then they would go and look at my customer account that doesn't exist.
Who is putting out the money? Is it associated with the Ring doorbell?
It's just Ring, I guess. They make a ton of money. Ring is like the most popular brand.
It's really the only brand, right?
Yeah. There's several other ones, but I think they're like the number one company for this type of thing. So they have it. I've just never heard of a contest giving away that much money for something this simple.
Yeah, not only that much money, but for something that could be rigged or something. I mean, hey, in your business of ghost hunting, I mean, you know, we're believers, but anything's possible. I don't know. It sounds phony to me, to be honest with you.
Fair. They limited the number of people entering to 5,000. I can probably sit down and if I was to go through a network of people, I could find you 5,000 filmmakers. Easy. I've networked with them in the past, so I could easily find you 5,000 filmmakers. Even easier than that is 5,000 horror filmmakers, like independent horror filmmakers that have the knowledge, the expertise, or even just the creative know-how to make a paranormal video look a certain way on camera. There's no chance that somebody out there that caught, and I quote, proof of an actual paranormal entity. I don't see in a realm where somebody that captures, you know, a book flying off the shelf, like what you would normally see with something like this. I don't think they have a chance. You're going to have people that are going to be coming out in costumes.
I'm not buying this at all, Bill. I mean, Bill. But Bob, I'm thinking of Bill.
Who's Bill?
Because you know what?
Bill calls him.
Maybe caller Bill, would believe in this, but you ain't going to sell me on this. I think it's just a gimmick. I don't know. It just don't sound right. But hey, most importantly, I'm glad your gallbladder is out and your appendix is out, and hopefully that's all that's going to come out. Right?
John, I don't need any more things out of me. I'm good now, man. I lost my two that are useless. I don't think there's many other useless things on my body I could lose. So I'd rather not. I'm good, man.
Yeah, it's glad to hear, and glad to hear to see you back and hear you back.
I missed it, so, John. I almost didn't come in, and I thought about it. I'm like, you know, I might, in case you guys are watching on camera, I am like pouring sweat just sitting here. So I almost didn't come in.
Which
but
we will wipe down the.
Anytime you need to get over there or something, I'm available. And Whiting's that far, except I got to go through a lot of construction in East Chicago.
I'm going to have a word with our lovely count after this. I forgot to bring that up because I am very upset, but that's a story for.
I've got to call
the
mayor. Yeah,
2 hours to get over there now. So,
sounds good. Well, John, I appreciate you.
Have a good show.
You too, John. Thank you. I love when John calls. That's my favorite.
Ring doorbells, though.
So, by the way, I totally skipped half of their introduction. I just realized people are going to be mad that I did not ask you your weekend update, which we'll get to. We'll do that before break.
Okay.
I playing catch up. Right. So what'd you think of that Ring camera?
Bob. Again, I think you got to give it to the one that's the actual real. Again, I don't know how you prove that, but I would think a real ghost caught on a doorbell is way more significant than, you know, back to me wearing a bed sheet with holes.
I guarantee. So 5,000 entries, that's not a lot. I mean, we live in an era where TikTok is like one of the most dominating apps out there. Anybody can make a short little movie these days. Anybody. I mean, not that anybody couldn't before, but it's way easier now.
Yep.
So they're going to fill 5,000 spots, I'm guaranteed, by Sunday. Can we make a note so I can reach out to somebody from Ring to see if we could get them on the show for next week?
I could see, yeah.
Let me see if I could get somebody, or tell me to email somebody from Ring to see if we could get
a statement. We'll give them a ring.
We'll give Ring a ring. Yes. Badoots. Yeah. I love the idea of the concept, but you know, I'm sitting here thinking about this and I don't have a ton of experience with them. Mm-hmm. Ring is a doorbell thing, right?
Yeah, it's a doorbell.
Count, where the heck do you put doorbells? Outside?
Yeah.
Are you catching a lot of ghosts outside? What?
That's the hope, that there's got to be. I mean, the ghost got to come in.
I mean, if I brought my Ring inside, I guess, and I was filming the inside of my house.
That's cheating, though. The Ring doorbell's meant to be the outside.
So, like, I got to shoot something on my front porch.
Yeah, that's the doorbell.
Brother, I've probably seen 5,000 front porch camera videos in my life that are pretty ridiculous.
But somebody has to have a ghost on one of them.
I've never heard of a haunted front porch.
Although ghosts don't use doors. They just go through the walls, right?
Yeah, the other thing is, for the Ring camera, you have to press the button to activate it, don't you? Or can I just monitor it whenever I want? I don't know. I don't use
Well, you press ring. It when you're there, and then they
right,
can see
but
it.
Can I monitor that at 24 hours a day, though? Like, can I just look at my phone, or does somebody have to ring it for me to see it?
Well, my sister has one. I think if there's a movement on the porch, then it kind of alerts you that something's moving on your porch.
So your sister has a Ring camera?
Yes, but she doesn't.
Oh, so we're entering this contest, is what you're saying.
I don't know if she has a ghost, though.
No, that's fine. They said it could be silly.
Yeah, but Bob, we want to win honestly.
Well, no, I'm going to dress like a Ghostbuster and I'm going to chase you down the block and with you wearing a sheet over your head. I'm going to win this money.
Well, then, there we go. That might be the concept. Well, they'll give away our ideas, Bob.
Well, I'll give you money. I'll give you half. 50
oh, yeah,
grand. I'm happy with 50 grand.
We'll take that. I'll take that.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
Tell your sister she could get her house paid off or something. Maybe not that, but we'll get her a steak dinner. What is she? Yeah. Does she like steak?
Yeah, Applebee's, I guess.
Okay, we'll make sure she gets an Applebee's gift card or something. Okay. All right, so the next news story comes to us from the UPI.
Yeah.
This is massive ocean sunfish washes up on the shore in Oregon. And by massive, I mean, this thing is big. Mm-hmm. I would send it to you, but Facebook's down. Cause that's how I discovered it was down.
Careful.
I'll take you're going to have to take my word for it.
Take your word.
Okay. So a giant fish described as looking like the invention of a mad scientist washed up on an Oregon beach. The third since such an incident in June. So this is the third giant sunfish that has washed up on shore since June. The Seaside Aquarium said on social media that Mola Mola, also known as an ocean sunfish, was found at the Hug Point State Park in Clatsop County. The fish has been dead for some time and measured nearly 7 feet long, the aquarium said. The species as a whole can grow to 10 feet and weigh up to 5,000 pounds. It's huge.
Wow.
The Monterey Bay Aquarium describes the fish as looking like the invention of a mad scientist with tiny eyes. A big eyes, tiny mouth. Discovery comes after a Mola tecta, or a hoodwinker sunfish, washed up in Oregon in June after a Mola Mola washed up in the August. So we have three of these giant fish washing up on shore at once, and that's very uncommon, apparently. So hashtag panics take.
Yeah, I mean, if it's uncommon, all these fish at once, and something's going on here. There's something in the water there, Bob. Literally.
I don't know. It's worth looking at, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not an oceanographer. I'm not. I'm never going to claim to be. I just play one on TV. Those are massive things to be washing up on shore. Like, I know beached whales is a thing, so it's not totally unheard of for large things to wash up on shore, but for three that quick and that specific type of animal?
Yeah.
Like, it's that specific fish.
How many eyes do the fish have?
Two. It's you've seen a sunfish, bro. They got the weird looking faces.
Yeah. Well, Bob, this is something we gotta monitor. Do we know any oceanographers out there?
We live by a lake. We probably know lakeographers.
Technically the same thing, right?
It's a body of water. That's a good question.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe we could ask those folks and try to get a perspective.
Folks, if there's any listener out there in the world that is an oceanographer, or maybe you just take up oceanography as a hobby, or maybe you run aquariums, I don't know. Let me know what you think of this story, Bob at bobafterdark.com. I bring it up because when things happen in patterns, I can't help but wonder about idiosyncrasies. What caused those giant three fish to just wash up on shore? There is no, in the article I read, there's no answer to how they might have died. I could understand if there was an oil spill, or perhaps, like, I don't know, something man-made did this. But for that big of a fish, 7 feet long, And these things can grow up to 5,000 pounds. That's a lot of fish just to randomly die and wash up on shore.
Think of the fish fry you could have with that.
Can you eat sunfish?
Yeah, they eat any fish.
That's fair. Yeah. All right, so before we go to break,
you
owe the fans a weekend update.
I feel like these never live up. Well, Bob, don't forget. I'll just wrap it up in one thing here. Over the weekend, Bob, the count took in a football game. But the
strange, you played football?
I didn't play football. I watched football. But the strange thing is, Bob, it was 90 degrees
on Saturday
when this was going on. And then it started to turn, right? Sunday, Monday, here we are on Tuesday filming. Fall hit, Bob. It was the first day of fall on Sunday.
Yes.
And that's when the weather started turning. So I got the best of both worlds, I guess, out there. Well, everybody did, I guess, around here. Yeah, the summer day.
Yeah, rub it in. I love being cooped up inside recovering and not being able to go out and do anything.
And a fall day being a fall day. But
not my favorite days.
Bob, I got to tell you, now, with fall being in full swing.
Uh-oh.
The veil.
Yes.
Is thinning.
It's thinning. Yes. We are officially on the count veil tracker.
We're entering the last week of September here, and it's starting to thin.
You know, there's a trend going on online right now, and story before we go to break. You know, there's a trend going on like right now saying, like, Mariah Carey's defrosting.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to get fall, and she's breaking ice, you know, whatever. All I can think about is that with you. So, like, after the 4th of July, you just kind of like, is the veil thinning? No, we're on the thick end right now. And then, so, what is it, the North American Weather Association tracks Zan every year?
Yeah.
On Chris, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the NOAA.
Are we going to have veil tracking with Count Pick, a little cartoon of him on TV moving during the veil between worlds?
A little ticker. Yeah, that'd be fun. Now, the veil only thins once a year, right?
Four times a year.
But nobody has talked about the other ones.
We have two. Well, no, man. I mean, we talk about it.
I know. But the Halloween one is the one everybody's like, the veil is at its thinnest.
Yes. You usually have. So you have the four seasons or the 2 week runoffs.
Frankie Valli?
What?
The four seasons.
Yeah, Frankie Valli. You know, that Frankie Valli actually determines how thick the veil gets.
Yeah, there you go.
Who would have thought that he was the king of the other, you know, the dead world?
He's out there.
So we have our four seasons. So you have two equinoxes and two solstices, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have your spring solstice and your summer solstice, winter solstice, fall equinox, spring equinox. Sorry, I got myself mixed up. Each one having their different names. So we're approaching right now Samhain, mm-hmm. which is Halloween, which, you know, we all know and love about that one. Then you have Yule in November.
Yep.
Or, I'm sorry, Yule in December.
That thing's there.
And then you have Ostara in springtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what the name of the summer solstice is in witchy terms.
But that's the first day of summer, then.
That's the first day of summer.
But here's the thing, Bob. If it's thinning four times, but is there a time where it's the absolute thinnest?
Every equinox, supposedly. Equinox and solstice. I mean, obviously, Samhain's the most popular one, right?
Yeah.
We kind of go all out for that one. That and Yule, you'll still see people doing, like, the spiritual side of Yule versus what I mean by Yule, Christmas, whatever, holiday season. Yule's older, so I just use that term for argument's sake right now.
Yule log.
Yule log, yes. So during the Yule season, we still celebrate that on a spiritual sense. We have Beltane in spring or Ostara, whichever term you decide to go with. Those are... In the witchy community, that one's recognized, but not outside, and not just witchy, pagan, etc. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anybody on that side of the spectrum when it comes to spiritual beliefs, they'll celebrate the other two, but we as, you know, normal folk that don't know that sort of a thing, they don't really associate it. You know what I mean?
No.
Does that answer your question?
That answers my question.
So for argument's sake, I will tell you that, yes, Halloween is the most popular one out of all of those.
It's thinning at the moment right here.
Yes.
Right,
this is my favorite time of year, man. We're right before October, which means it's like right before my birthday, right before mine and Queen of Night's anniversary, et cetera, et cetera. It's a really cool time. My mom's birthday was just this past week. Happy belated birthday, Mom. I got to spend it recovering from surgery, which was a lot of fun. That was a joke. I love it because we have that feeling, right? Like everything's building up to that point. Horror movies, trick-or-treating, paranormal talks, ghost walks, the whole nine. You don't see ghost walks during the other, you know, holidays. I wish you did, but not as popular as the Halloween time.
Yeah. Well, That settles that.
Absolutely. All right, Cotton, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, for our live fans, we'll be right back. Into our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a very interesting person and a word from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
I'm folklorist and author Mark Muncy.
And I'm author Erica Lance.
And we host Eerie Travels.
It's a podcast where we discuss all things strange and unusual.
We discuss everything from Bigfoot to UFOs.
From Mothman to haunted locations.
From hidden history to legendary beasts.
From Cocaine Bear to the Jersey Devil.
From holler monsters to conspiracy theory.
We interview amazing guests that are actual investigators into the things that many believe to only be in the world of the imagination.
We also get into verbal debates about which monsters would win in a fight.
If any of this sounds interesting to you, then join us twice a week on your favorite podcast platform.
So look for Eerie Travels, and we'll see you on the other side.
Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey, Bob.
Who would have thought that Danhausen is a fan of Bob After Dark?
Really? Yeah, we just heard it.
That we just heard the Danhausen threaten to curse everybody that doesn't subscribe and like Bob After Dark.
I didn't expect that, Bob.
No, so thanks, Danhausen. Wow. So listen to Bob After Dark or get cursed.
Very cool, Bob. Thank you. I did not expect that at all.
No, so thank you, Danhausen. Wow. Cotton, what'd you do during break?
During break, Bob, I was checking all my veils to see how fast they're thinning right now.
Were you wearing them over your face like, you know, the Weeping Widow? And
I was,
trope?
Yeah, so I mean, right now they're thinning, but they're not fully thinning.
What color veil do you wear during Halloween time, Count? What color is the veil during its thinnest? Is it like a really sheer white?
Yeah.
Or do you like go seasonal? Like, is your veil orange?
It's an orange veil, yeah.
I don't think the veil has a color. I mean, the veil is more or less like just a term.
It could be any veil you want.
You could say like John Keel used the term window.
Polka dot veil.
Count Panic, everybody, is going to be making spiritual veil realms for purchase. You could wear your veil whenever you feel.
Different
like.
The sizes of thickness.
Yep. So, you know what I did during break?
What'd
Count
you do,
Panic?
Bob?
Danhausen came to me and said, "Hey, I'm a big fan of your work." I can't do a Danhausen impression. I'm really bad at it.
Yeah.
So me and Danhausen hung out during break.
A big fan of Bob After Dark.
Yeah, actually was. So I was very surprised.
And
then he kicked me in the face.
Well, that happens.
Yeah, he super kicked
me. He is a professional.
He is a professional. He super kicked me. Yeah. And so I was supposed to, you know, as you heard in that message, like and subscribe or get cursed. It's one step between Andy Kaufman and Danhausen. Like, that's the voice I come up. Get cursed.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
Count, you know what we haven't done in a long time for the lore of the week? You and I have not looked at ritual pastas in a while.
Oh, like a creepypasta.
Like a creepypasta. Creepypastas are stories. Ritual pastas are rituals.
Okay.
Or supernatural games you play to get some sort of outcome. The oldest form that would be like the most popular of one of these ritual pastas would be Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Where you stand in front of the mirror, you say Bloody Mary, and then she appears. And there's like thousands of variants to that game. I will tell you that I've done probably a couple dozen of them in my life, and I've never made Bloody Mary appear. But I will tell you that messing with mirrors can screw you up.
Scary,
so probably shouldn't mess with
careful,
mirrors.
Yeah.
So Bloody Mary being one of the more popular ones, and then some of the other ritual pastas, playing hide and seek with themselves. That's one of my favorite ones, where you get the stuffed animal and put it with rice and a little bit of your blood, and you could bring a spirit to inhabit that stuffed animal to run around and chase you through the house. There's the story of the Raven Man. That's another favorite of mine, the Three Kings ritual. There's several of them out there that are really cool. I have a good list here from actually Wattpad, written by R. Alexi, has the whole rituals handbook online available for you to read. And this is an excellent source. Highly recommend checking it out. So I'll be reading this word from that. So what we'll do is I'm going to give you three of them, Count Panic.
Okay.
You're going to rate them on a scale of 5 for complexity.
Okay.
Does the outcome outweigh the challenge that you have to do?
Oh, man.
And would you do it?
I need a notebook.
So, I mean, you just got to give me 3.
Oh, okay.
So you would say, just tell me on a scale of 5 what each one does, okay?
Yeah.
So the first one I have for you is the closet ritual, a.k.a. the closet game is a creepypasta in its purest form. Its origin is unknown, and it's pretty much always encountered in the same form, having been copied and pasted time and time again from various locations on the internet. It appeared on the Creepypasta wiki for some time, although the page was deleted in the September of 2015. Regardless as to whether you know the Creepypasta, though, the basic setup will always likely sound familiar to anyone who grew up fearing that there was a monster in their closet. The trope of the monster in the closet appears in a huge number of cultures across the globe, part of the general boogeyman myth. The closet dweller is El Cuque in Latin American cultures, or Butzimann in Germany, or Bollmann in the Netherlands, and Jumbi in Guyana. When he's not hiding in the closet, he's lurking under the bed, and his primary function is to punish naughty children by kidnapping them. The fact that he's so prevalent in so many different areas of the world suggests a rather primal fear of the dark, what might be lurking there just outside our field of vision. Like a number of the rituals and games that's presented in this, there doesn't actually seem to be a point to this one. There's no prize for winning, so you could skip those, at least their count. There's no prize for winning, although the price you'll pay for losing is rather sleep indeed. In these cases, the thing I'm coming back to is the idea of tempting fate, why we like to do it, even when there's nothing concrete to gain from it. Maybe it's a kind of supernatural contest, or maybe it speaks to our ingrained psychological need for danger. But either way, it's always worth figuring out for yourself exactly what you want out of any particular game before you play it, especially if it's one like this one. A note on safety. One of the more mundane reasons it's not advisable to perform this ritual is the fact that it involves lighting a match inside a closed closet. If you must perform it, make sure that the closet's big enough or empty enough that there is no danger of accidentally lighting something on fire, clothes, flammable objects, or even yourself. Although it's not specified in the requirements, I'd recommend having a fire extinguisher readily available just in case. The boogeyman isn't the only thing to fear here. I love this person's writing. That's good a good writing. Safety tip. All right, required number of players is just one, so you could do this one by yourself. Count.
Okay.
You need one closet and one matchstick. So you begin at night, doesn't specify what time, you darken the room, turn out all the lights of the room, in which case the closet located, in which the closet's located, and draw the curtains. If the closet also has light, make sure it too is turned off. I don't know what happens if you're in a room without drapes. What if you don't have drapes?
That's a good
curtains.
Point. Yeah.
Just draw the blinds.
I guess so.
Fair enough. Or shutters. What if you have shutters?
That works too, right?
Sorry, Count. I'm digressing. I'm just being
I'm
silly.
Just making sure.
I'm trying to make sure you're not losing yourself.
No, I'm just falling off.
So make sure you have a match somewhere on your person.
A match.
Yes, match. Open the closet, step inside, and close the door. There should be no light visible either inside the closet or outside of it.
Terrifying.
Stand in the darkness for at least 2 minutes. Do not move.
Okay.
Do not speak.
Okay.
After 2 minutes are up, hold the match out in front of you and speak these words. Show me the light.
Show me the light.
Or leave me in darkness.
Or leave me in darkness.
Listen closely. If you hear whispers in the darkness, light the match immediately and wait.
Okay.
If you hear nothing, do not turn around. Just wait. If you have made it this far unscathed, open the closet door, exit the closet, and close the door. Do not look inside the closet. In fact, don't look inside the closet ever again if you can help it, and especially not without all the lights on burning brightly. Additional notes. Some who have successfully completed the ritual say that strange things happen at night if you leave the closet door open. I sleep with my closet door open all the time. Again, it's not recommended so that you sleep with the closet. Recommend you leave the closet lights off, but if you do, you might see two points of light gleaming out of the darkness, glowing red like the tips of a pair of lit matches. They might be eyes, they might not. So, count.
Yeah.
Setup. Is this an easy setup for on a scale through 1 and 5? Easiest being 5, the hardest being 1.
The
setup for the ritual. Is this a hard, like, is this an easy one to set up?
It doesn't seem that hard. I mean, it just requires you being in darkness with a match. There's some rules you got to follow here.
Sure.
So I'm going to say it's easy on the easy side, yeah.
Okay, but okay, what about the actual game itself or the ritual itself? Is it an easy ritual to perform?
I would say so.
You just got to remember the one line.
In darkness.
You don't even remember the line. Show me the light.
Show me the light or
leave me in
darkness. Yes. Yeah.
And you're supposed to hear whispers.
But if I don't hear whispers, don't turn around.
So if you don't hear the whispers, do nothing.
That See, the hardest part for me would be like following the rules. I mean, I think it's a simple enough concept. It's just me, a match, and a closet. But you got to remember, because if you forget one thing and you turn around and the match is lit, it might throw off everything, Bob.
So, question on everybody's mind then. Yeah. Would you do it?
I mean, probably not.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
Just because what if I do hear whispers? I'm like, well, what the heck?
What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to light the match.
Yeah, but then something bad's going to happen. I know you would do it, Bob.
I would do it, but here's the thing, like, right? When I do a ritual or, you know, if I'm partaking in a ritual, if I'm assisting in a ritual, if I'm around them, whatever it might be, there needs to be some kind of reward for me to want to do this. You know what I mean?
Well,
this is me just walking into a closet and hoping I hear whispers. There ain't nothing about me, you know, defeating the boogeyman or anything.
But this takes it back to the one everybody knows. You go into a bathroom and in the mirror, the lights are up.
Right,
Bloody Mary,
get it.
Bloody Mary. If you see Bloody Mary, there's no payoff for that either. I mean, you ever see her, you don't. I mean, there's no like a reward if you escape her.
Oh, 100%, man. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Some of these rituals, you're really playing with fire, in this case, in the literal sense and the metaphysical sense.
You like it?
So, like, for the general audience, I don't recommend doing this one.
Because don't play with fire,
To
right?
be fair, I would tell you not to do any of these without proper ideal of how to survive a metaphysical emergency. You know what I mean?
Ask like your parents' permission before lighting matches.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Man, you're lighting just a match. It's not like you're going in there with a candle, right? Candlelight, it's a little safer. Yeah. This, you're just lighting a match and hoping for the best.
It catches this like a jacket.
This is my personal favorite. If you hear the whispers, you're supposed to light the match immediately and wait.
Yeah.
How long am I supposed to wait for? Yeah. That match is going to go down to my fingers, and I might drop the match and light my closet on fire. In the very least, burn a hole in the carpet.
I know.
Then my mom's going to beat me.
This whole thing is unsafe.
I would do it, but that's, you know, I would do it for all the wrong reasons.
Somebody else's closet. Right?
Exactly. So, overall, do you like the ritual?
It's fine. I wouldn't do it, but it's one of those Bloody Mary type rituals.
All right, so the next one I have for you is the shoebox telephone ritual.
Shoebox telephone ritual.
So this one comes to us from Fableforge, the same Redditor who brought us the Three Kings. He and all Redditors by default are male until proven otherwise, including yours truly, as the times I posted here others assumed me to be a dude. Note in his original post that although he contributed a few details to the game, the shoebox telephone was already being played in Juvie before he arrived. The stakes are perhaps lower for this one than they are the other games we've always talked about. So it might be a good one for beginners to try. Bear in mind, though, that there's always danger when you toy around with the paranormal. All right, Count. So for the shoebox ritual game, the requirements. You need a phone booth.
A phone booth.
Yeah, it just says a phone booth.
Okay.
And it says,
where am I going to get one of those?
So it says a phone booth in quotations. A closet is a good choice.
Oh, we're going back.
So I think I think what they mean is like you need to be in a space with your telephone.
Okay.
So like you pretend that is your telephone.
I'll find a phone booth.
So while you're in your closet lighting matches, folks, go in there with what you need
do
next.
Both rituals at the same time.
You need a paper cup, not glass, specifically paper cup.
Not a solo cup.
One shoebox.
Shoebox.
One length of thread, 2 to 4 feet in length. One needle.
Needle.
One pair of scissors.
Dangerous.
One power object. You know what I mean by a power object?
A power tool?
No, a power object. Usually certain cultures in different backgrounds might call them a totem.
Oh.
Some may call it like their
offering.
Yeah, no, it's like a power object in Christianity, Catholicism, whatever it might be, you see people wearing the crucifixes around their neck.
Yeah, okay.
That would be a power item. You put faith into that crucifix that you're wearing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. This object should have some connection to the person to whom you wish to speak. One sheet of paper, one ink pen, not to be confused with other kinds of pens.
I'll be honest, I don't like this already because there's too many items.
Too many accounts already gone. He's done. One flat surface on which to write. Instructions. There's an outbound call. Begin right before you go to bed. The hour itself is inconsequential. All that matters is that your day is essentially over. Keep the lights on, but turn off all electric devices, cell phones, televisions, computers, tablets, etc. Wait. You'll know when the time is right to begin in earnest. Once you arrive at the right time, take up your sheet of paper and open your pen and begin writing a letter addressed to the person whom you wish to speak. Explain to your person why they should call you. Do not cross anything out while writing, and do not correct any mistakes. Don't overthink what you're writing, just write. When you're done writing, take up your length of thread and tie one end of it to your power object using the needle. Thread it through the other through the bottom of your paper cup. Remove the needle and tie off the thread. This will be your handset and telephone wire. Pick up the paper cup and read your letter out loud into it. Read it sincerely, mistakes and all. Then place your letter and your power object in the shoebox with the telephone wire thread leading out of it. Close the lid of the box, but don't seal it. Then rest it on the floor of your phone booth. Leave the paper cup standing on top of the shoebox. Set the scissors down next to it. Wait for the telephone to ring. So now there's an incoming call.
What if it doesn't ring?
The ring will come in a form of a dream of the person trying to call you. It might be that night. It might be there a couple nights shortly thereafter. You will wake from your dream, likely in the middle of the night, and know that the telephone is ready to be answered. Get up from your bed, go to your phone booth, do not turn off the light, do not speak. Do not proceed if any of the following occur. If you find the shoebox open, you find the paper cup knocked over should you encounter either of these incidents, do not place the headset anywhere near your ear. Keep the shoebox closed and snap the string with your hands. If you are unable to snap it, use the scissors to snip it. If the shoebox and paper cup are undisturbed, you may proceed to get in the phone booth and close the door. Sit on the floor, press the paper cup to your ear and cover the other ear with your hand. And listen. Really listening. They're calling collect after all. Keep movement to a minimum and try not to make any noise and do not touch the shoebox. Don't even speak. Even if you're asked questions or ordered to say something, you already had your say when you made the outbound call. How you end it. When the call has finished, or at least at the time when you want to hang up the shoebox, lid firmly closed with one hand and pull on the thread with the other until it snaps. If you are unable to snap the string in this manner, use the scissors. Do not allow the shoebox to be open. So keep it closed.
Keep it closed.
Remove the shoebox to a safe location and leave it there for several months. Months. Remember, do not allow the shoebox to be open. Do not put the paper cup up to your ear ever again. Instead, you have to burn it. Additional notes. If during the steps 3 and 4 of the outbound call, the feeling of absolute certainty that is time to begin does not arrive within the space or the hour, do not proceed. Instead, go to sleep and try again the next night. If the right time does not arrive several nights in a row, either try contacting a different person or try to take a break for a few nights. Do not write in doubt. To write in doubt will result in a dialing of a wrong number. Do not prepare the paper cup handset in step 5 of the outbound call in advance. Write your letter, then make the handset. If the ring for the inbound call does not arrive after a maximum of 4 nights, it's possible that whomever you attempted to contact has nothing to say to you. You may replay the game to make contact with another person, but don't attempt to play it too often. Concerning wrong numbers, dialing a wrong number will result in connecting you to no one at all or connecting you to the wrong person. If connected to the wrong person, any of the following might occur. The wrong person could pretend to be the right person. The wrong person could feed you misinformation, either in the guise of the right person or as themselves. And the wrong person could otherwise just give you a bad time. Do not, under any circumstance, dial the wrong number. Count! Simplicity of the ritual. Scale through 1 and 5. 5 being the easiest.
5 being the easiest? 1.
1, so this one's complicated.
Bob, it's too much. You gotta simplify this a little bit. The match one at least was a little easier to get by. You only need a match, too. This one, there's like 20 objects. There's rules. I'm not doing it, Bob.
Too many rules count.
And the phone's not ringing. The phone booth alone is going to be hard to find. You don't want to
use a closet.
Well,
they say you could use a closet. You just the phone booth is what you're making it up.
No, but everything is complicated about this. I'm not doing it.
Okay, so this is overcomplicated.
Too complicated.
From the ritual and
my simple mind.
The solution doesn't outweigh the means of going through
all of
that.
None of this seems like it's worth it.
For me, I'd like to talk to my dad. So for me, I would go through all the steps. But like, I'm also not going to try to contact my dad through a phone box and a paper cup. Because I guarantee you that the ritual will work, right? Because my dad's going to make sure it works just to make fun of me for doing something so stupid.
Silly.
My dad's literally going to come over the other line and say something like, you're talking on a cup.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Just, for that alone, you'll be. And on top of that, yeah, you get made fun of by your relatives and up there for doing such a silly concept. Nah. Forget it.
All right, I got our last ritual count.
All right, let's see
the stranger ritual.
What's it called?
The stranger ritual.
Stranger ritual.
The stranger ritual appears to be quite a recent invention of Brightingness. The first incarnation, it was uploaded on the Creepypasta Wiki October 2014 by somebody by the name of Skylar1610. Similarly to the many games, the hosting game, the knocker tell, the midnight game, and so on, the summoning portion involves the use of a door, although exactly who or what you might be summoning remains to be seen. The stranger ritual is sort of like a deal with the devil game, although which devil you might be dealing with isn't exactly clear. This one is particularly not recommended. Like the writer's telling you not to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means I'm just going to go do it.
You're going to do it.
Willingly doing harm to others is... Oh, okay. Willingly doing harm to others is a big no-no in my book. Okay. You're not just playing with your own risk here. You're playing at someone else's too. All right. Let's see what this one's all about. Because I've never heard of this one.
Oh, my.
So, one player. And here's your requirements. One door. Ideally made out of wood.
A wooden door.
A wooden door. The door must have a lock. But it must not have any windows or peepholes. One white candle, one black candle, one lighter or match, one gift. The gift should not be a power object. Indeed, it should be essentially the opposite of a power object. Something with no connection to you whatsoever. Ideally, purchase or otherwise acquire a gift on the day you intend to complete the ritual. One candy or a sweet of some sort is recommended. One writing implement, chalk, is recommended. One photograph of a person fitting the following specifications. Mm-hmm. You must have taken the photograph yourself. Mm. The photograph must be as recent as possible, and the photo must not depict anyone in your immediate family or close friends. Instructions.
What?
Step one. What's that?
So wait, the photo you're supposed to have on...
Stranger.
But who takes... So you got to go out and take a photo of a stranger.
Yes.
You? Okay. Because that's not something people usually just have on them.
No, I mean... All right, so the step one is called the invitation. Okay. So begin after nightfall. It may begin at any time as long as the sun has gone down. However, for maximum results, it is recommended that you begin as close to midnight as possible. Make sure you are alone in your chosen location. Close any windows, pull any curtains, cover any mirrors, and turn off all the lights. Keep a photograph somewhere on your person. Close the door with your writing implement. Write the word stranger on it. How are you going to see that in the dark? Place your gift in front of the door, and if the door opens towards you, make sure that the gift is far enough in front of it that it will not touch or be knocked over when the door is opened. Knock on the door three times. Knock, knock, knock. Wait. If you hear silence, do not proceed. Wipe the word from the door, lock it, and blow out the candle. Oh, that's how you would see. I missed the part where you light the candles. Wait until sunrise. Crucial. After the sun has risen, you may unlock and open the door. If you hear three knocks coming from the other side of the door, you may proceed. Open the door slightly, no more than an inch or two, but do not look outside of it. After you have cracked the door open, turn around and place your back to both the door and your gift. Mm. Now you have to exchange them. Behind you, the door will open fully. You will feel a presence. This indicates the stranger has arrived. Do not turn around. Do not look at the stranger. If the stranger does not approve of your gift, do not proceed. Do not turn around. Do not look at the stranger. Apologize to the stranger. Remain where you are until sunrise.
How do you know if they approve your gift?
They don't tell you. What is this? Stranger's going to be like, dude, you bought me a peanut butter.
And how do you know if it's a stranger?
It's the stranger you're summoning. I'm implementing it some sort of demon or something.
And you got knocked three times.
Knock three times.
It's like a total bando or something like that.
The knocking three times thing is an old school superstition amongst mostly Christians, specifically Catholics. The knocking the three times is supposedly the mocking of the Holy Trinity.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that part. When you had paranormal activity back in the early days and you heard three knocks,
really?
the superstition was that was you were being haunted by a demon. That demon's knocking three times
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it mocks the Trinity.
So you knock three times and then... avoid that knock three times.
Well, I'm just saying that's an old superstition when it comes to paranormal stuff. Do we have a caller?
We do have a call.
Caller, you're on the air.
Go live on the air with it, I guess.
Yeah, good evening, Bob and Count.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Oh.
It's going good. Listen, I want to apologize for that caller who called you Bill, but, you know.
Hey, I'm in good company.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
Bill,
it.
Bill, Bob, it's all the same.
Well, yeah, well, whatever. But I'm enjoying the show and so forth, and I'm calling you on a cell phone. I don't have a paper cup now, so.
That'd be amazing, though, if you were calling us on a paper cup.
Well, that would be amazing. Yeah. But like I said, it's good to hear you, Bob. I haven't heard you for about 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, three.
Oh, was it three?
3 weeks, Bill.
Okay. Well, I'm getting old. I forget sometimes.
You're good. Bill, I forget what I eat for breakfast most days. You're fine.
So, but that's about it. And, You know, like I said, I'm enjoying the show. There's interesting things, and no, I wouldn't go. I don't have a closet, so I wouldn't go in there and light a match anyway.
Good for you, Bill.
Good.
You know, things happen, but okay. Listen, you guys take care, and Bob, you good health to you.
Thanks, Bill. I need it.
And then the Count, I believe I seen you. Flying around Roxana somewhere.
I'm always.
He's around. He likes that Big Frank sausage.
Above Big Frank sausage. There, yes.
That's where it was. I think I was going by there. Something was flying around there.
He was trying to get some of that Zweig.
He has too much garlic, though.
Do they have Zweig at Frank's?
Oh, they'll have it. They'll get you anything you want, Bob.
They have Zweig, though. Is that how you pronounce it?
They used to have a ketchup, but they had Tisky and they got
Siski. Okay, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Zweig. Titskies, that's the word. Thank you so much. Yeah. Bill, we appreciate you calling in.
Okay, and like I said, the next time I've been at Frank's a few times, and next time I'm in, I'll get the Count special. I think they have that there.
Oh, man.
He's got a picture on the wall. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, Bill.
Cheese curds.
He's got a picture on the wall. Okay, well, next time, I got to look for that next time.
Sounds good, Bill. You have a good one.
Okay.
Take care.
There's
Bill right there.
All right, but anyway, as I was saying, if the stranger doesn't like your gift, I assume the stranger's going to be like, hey, dude, you got me some gourmet peanut butter. Oh, that's real nice of you, but I'm allergic to peanuts.
That's true, too. And then one more thing about the knocking. Generally, that's the traditional way anybody knocks, right?
But I'm just saying as far as paranormal activity goes.
Yeah,
the knocking three times, that's how you knock on a door.
You knock on a door.
I do it five times.
You do?
That would be my... Sorry, I'm knocking on the table.
Yeah, hold on here.
Trying to, like, count.
So I'm picturing myself going to a door.
Yeah. So you do three.
It'd be three, yeah.
I do five. Oh. I'm a weirdo, remember.
Or do, how about this?
I've done that before, too. The shave and a haircut.
Two bits, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So let's see here. Stranger doesn't approve your gift. If for any reason you do not wish to continue at this point, apologize to the stranger and politely ask it to leave. The door will close, at which point you may turn around, wipe the word from the door, lock it, blow out the candle, and wait for sunrise. Do not unlock the door before the sun has risen. Yeah. If the stranger approves your gift, it will request from you a name. Look at your photograph and say it aloud the name of the person it depicts. Wait. You will hear the door close and the stranger's presence will fade. Mm. After both the door has closed and the presence has disappeared, turn around. Your gift should no longer be present. Wipe the word from the door, lock it, blow out the candle, wait for sunrise. Do not unlock the door until the sun has risen. As soon as possible, burn the photograph to ashes. Do not neglect that step. Mm. The results, keep an eye out for the obituaries. Wow, this one went dark. Keep an eye on the obituaries over the next few days. If you see the name you gave to the stranger, the ritual's considered a success. Insofar as any ritual of this may be considered a success.
Now you got to buy the paper.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that costs $5 now.
Oh, jeez. Additional notes. So as long as you do not turn around or look at the stranger, you do not need to fear it. It is your guest. As such, it will not harm you. However, if the stranger does not approve of your gift or it chose to abort the ritual after the stranger arrived, it is not recommended that you attempt the ritual again in the future. Ever. The stranger will be most displeased with you. After the stranger has arrived, it is imperative that you not turn around or look at it. The consequences of doing so vary from person to person, but at best, the stranger will never leave. You do not want to find out what happens at its worst. Concerning the photograph, do not neglect to burn it. If the photograph has not been destroyed by the fire by the time the victim has expired, well, let's just say you will be in no condition to keep an eye on the obituaries.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I ain't going to do this one. I'm not looking to kill anybody anytime soon.
And again, the rules. There's too many parts. So you got to read the paper, and there's a lot going on. I wouldn't do either, Bob.
Oh, 100%.
Plus, you're dragging a stranger into your household.
All right, so count.
Yeah.
Simplicity of the ritual.
It's like the second one, a one. I'm going to give it a one.
So this one's hard for you to do.
There's too many. There's too much to follow, Bob. But the first one, at least you had a match. You didn't want to turn around. I get it a little bit, but these last two, there's props.
There's words you got to say.
Words you got to say.
Well, I mean, do you remember the ritual of the first one?
This is my light.
Never mind. You screwed that up.
Let's get out of the dark.
Guys, I'm going to tell you, Cop Bannock's not allowed to do any of these.
I wouldn't. And you know me. I'm not one to summon things up.
Nah, you're good.
I don't like summoning things.
Oh. But it's I
cause me trouble.
My goodness, Count. So those are my three ritual pastas overall. Count wouldn't do any of them. I gave him one easy one and two hard ones.
You would do two of them.
I would do two of them. I ain't looking to kill anybody anytime.
No.
Excuse me. So Count, before we close, it is time to announce.
What?
It's time to announce something.
Oh, okay.
Our October theme.
Oh, yeah.
Every October, we theme it to something. It's just kind of like, so here's the thing, right? In the realm of what we do, it's Halloween all year round. So it's, you know, people are like, oh, are you excited around Halloween? Yeah, but my career is Halloween all the time.
It's April.
Both with March, Ghostbusters, you know, the July. Cosplaying Ghostbusters thing and what I do here. I do Bob After Dark full time all year round. So Count Panic and I, it's hard to celebrate Halloween for what we do here because.
How do you do it?
So what we usually do is we pick out a really cool theme and we stick to it. I have something for you, Count. You're going to love it because it's a skeptic's dream.
Oh, what?
Because I'm telling you all fake stories, but it's lore. So next month on Bob After Dark, I'm going to be presenting to you guys the real fairy tales.
The real fairy tales.
So the original fairy tales were not written as the fun stories that we were told as kids.
You're talking like Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, yeah. So the Grimm's Brothers fairy tales. I'm going to be telling you guys the real stories and traumatize
really?
You forever.
Yeah, so they had nightmares.
So next month, we're going to be looking all 100% at the concept of fairy tale origins. Okay. It's completely different. It's way out there. But remember, Bob After Dark is based on legends, lore, and the supernatural. Legends and lore fall into the realm of the fairy tales. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
It's still a historical thing. It's still spooky in its own regards. And I promise you guys that it's going to blow you away.
Literally.
Some of these stories are gruesome.
No.
I was doing some research into it. I'm like, man, I got to do this. It's something a little different.
Yeah.
I toyed with a couple different ones, and this is something I don't ever get to talk about. I am a folklorist at the end of the day, and part of what I do in folklore is I also look at fairy tales.
Yeah.
Mostly it's legends told different places around the world, but in this case, mostly Germanic. Written by two brothers that grew up in an orphanage and did not have a very good time. So they started writing fairy tales and they are all belligerently scary. So, So next month, fairy tale month here on Bob After Dark.
October, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. It's.
I'm excited. Next week's going to be my birthday episode.
Yeah, that's right. October is your birthday.
October 3rd. And I think 3rd. I'm here on my birthday. Is next Tuesday the 3rd?
I don't know. We got the 3rd would be later in the week.
Oh, that's Wednesday. Never mind.
Maybe.
Yeah, it is. It is Wednesday.
Is it? Okay. We don't keep track of the calendar around here.
No. So, we try to. Yeah. But next week's my birthday episode, so we're going to kick it off. I don't know what fairy tale I'm doing yet. I'll decide. But it's going to be a good one, Count.
Yeah.
Also, 31-31-31 challenge starts next week. You guys still have time. Hop on over to the social medias. Recommend a horror movie that you want me to watch. And you will get... You get a movie review a day.
Wow.
So 31 movies, 31 horror movies specifically, 31 videos And those videos are 31-second long reviews.
Oh, man. How you gonna do? So say you're going too long with the review. You just got to stop yourself?
I'm going to have to pace myself to do it. Me and Vic's practiced back and forth for a while. She would give me a movie, and I would tell her I would shoot a video doing, like, a description of the movie.
You have, like, a stopwatch or something.
Right. So yeah. I would give the general gist of what the movie is. I would say who's in it. And then the review portion would be 31 seconds.
Okay. So that's the
So point. It's not like, all right, Long Legs is a 2024 movie, blah, 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 made by this
Time's
person.
Up.
And then that backs up the 31 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a challenge, but that's the whole point. It's a challenge. So that's all of those videos are going to come out daily on all of the social medias, specifically to YouTube. Go follow me at TheBobAfterDark on YouTube.
Now, what if the... Are these supposed to be like, okay, horror movies? But what about just like a Halloween movie? Or
Halloween's fine. Anything
like Hocus Pocus or something like that.
People recommended me some interesting ones. It could be a family-themed one. There's some bangers on there. There's stuff I never heard of.
Okay.
You know, somebody recommended Dawn of the Dead, the original, and I'm like, that's in my top five favorite movies of all time.
Well, you got to do it.
So every day I'm going to spin a wheel. The wheel's going to determine what movie I watch, and you guys will get what the movie I watched.
It's like a Halloween Havoc. Spin the wheel and make a deal.
That is an interesting throwback.
What can I nominate Halloween Havoc 97?
The Chamber of Horrors match specifically? I will put that on the list. Because believe it or not, every Halloween time I do watch Chamber of Horrors
Well, there you
match.
Go. That could be, even though so, it's not a movie, it's technically
I'm counting that or specials? Maybe the Firefly, the Firefly Funhouse
okay, so
match.
Like
I would consider that Halloween. Cartoon specials I would count too. So if you came at me and said, hey, the Garfield Halloween special where he deals with pirate ghosts,
that's
a good one, by the way.
Hey, people dominate that.
So anywho, you guys got time still, so go hit me up on the social medias. I'm going to be doing those through the 28th.
Perfect.
All right, Count, do you have any closing words for the audience?
Keep watching your veils because they are thinning as we speak. That's my closing.
Sounds good. Folks, it's good to be back in studio. I missed you, Count.
Yeah.
And thus ends the next the latest episode of Bob After Dark. I just want to wish all of you good night and sweet dreams. To my mom, I want to wish you sweet dreams. And to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.